Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. We are in the Big Tent. It is very windy all of a sudden. You notice that, Mitch?
It is. Storm's coming up.
Is there?
Tonight, afternoon.
Damn it.
Always. There's always afternoon storms here.
Yeah, I guess. Mitch is here, clearly. Pete is here, sitting on a cooler. Tandler's here. We have a special guest. Say your name.
Jackson.
And why are you here?
I made a sign for training camp.
My guy, Jackson. 10 out of 10
now, see,
sign.
See, folks out there, what if was you make the, signs for training
let's describe
camp.
The sign.
What was the final vote?
Describe the sign. Wait, nobody voted down on that. You voted down because
Mitch
of the Grand Canyon?
Down.
I voted down.
Do you want me to make the Grand Canyon official and talk about why you're voting down?
Sure, but it's not official.
We're going to the Grand Canyon when we go to Arizona.
Maybe.
I'm going to drive, and you're going to come.
Describe we'll the see. Sign that is pro.
Describe clean. The sign, Jackson. The guy that hates shtick is going to love the open of this.
All right, so we got a Redskins Talk Podcast, WWPS, What Would Pete Say? Got a nice picture of the Grand Canyon.
Boo.
And a tweet from Pete. And
we've gotten a lot of new listeners probably since the Grand Canyon conversation.
Yeah.
Pete didn't know anything about the Grand Canyon.
I didn't know that there was water on it. And Jackson didn't either. He texted his girlfriend about it.
What do they teach the youth of America?
Crazy.
Pete just tried to steal Mitch's water. That was a show. And then he also has future Hall of Famer Trey Quinn here.
How about that
pretty boy picture of Trey Quinn?
That's some Bama bangs right there. Yo. That's that Southern boy flop.
Jackson used a lot of colored ink for this sign.
It's impressive.
That's good. Expensive
sign. You would have gotten like a gold ribbon for your – it's like a science project in eighth grade.
You would have gotten a check plus.
That's a gold ribbon. Did they give out gold ribbons, gold stars?
Gold stars.
And it was moderately funny, but I voted it up because my ironclad rule is if it busts on Pete, it gets my vote.
Moderately funny, is it?
So basically any sign about that busts on Pete is going to get voted up.
There's a
by
Pete's
going
to upvote every sign that says his
that
name.
Talks about me.
Whether it's good or bad.
There was another sign that said Pete smells, which I also really enjoyed.
I'm sitting in.
We all kind of smell right now. Let's be honest.
It's
hot.
This whole tent smells.
It's hot. Dude, my car stinks from my shoes from yesterday's practice.
That blue shirt you're wearing smells because you wear it all the time.
I wear it every day. I leave
if
it
you've
in
been
the
watching
tent.
Our TV interviews, just notice that JP's always in a blue NBC Sports shirt.
It's the same one. Don't tell anybody.
Reason.
All right. On my list, pod party. Tandler, tell the people where to be Saturday night.
Matchbox, Short Pump, August 4th, 7 p.m. it starts. But
7 p.m.
It kind of starts when people start getting there.
Yeah, you guys can get there whenever you want.
Right.
I'm going to try not to be late. That's my goal ending, like it is every day.
It's not ending till
there's no end time.
Yes.
It's just going to be going.
TBD.
Reviews. Where are we at?
You said last night at dinner.
3:30.
It could happen, folks. It could happen. Bolos could happen.
I'm so in on the bolos.
Bring your own bolo. Well, you're wearing one regardless.
I am. This is true.
Signs. We talked about that was on my list. We have a really good interview with Jordan Reed coming up. He opened up. Jordan Reed's not. I don't know how to describe it. He's not like a big talker. Like he's just a quiet guy.
He's a quiet guy.
But he talks.
He's willing to. He's just a little quiet.
He opened up about the injury and the surgery and everything that was included.
I'll tell you what. It was about as talkative as I've heard Jordan since we met him. So that's something.
Yeah, dude. I thought it was good. I want to shout out the dude you said, is he a Celtic fan? Remember the guy from Belfast?
Yes.
Facebooked me again and said, "You're damn right, I'm a Celtic fan." Let's
no Rangers.
Go.
No
Let's
Rangers.
Go. You are not a Ranger fan.
I said no Rangers.
No Ranger. That's fine. We got more love from Belfast. The international.
Did you see the Aussie guy too?
Yeah, dude. It's wild.
And if there's a Matchbox in Ireland, we're going there for
If there's a Matchbox in Ireland, all in.
Yeah.
Taylor's just slugging water over there. You all right, RT?
Yeah, I have nothing to say about a Matchbox in Belfast, so I'm not contributing.
You're anti-Matchbox?
I just don't have anything to say about it.
Yo, I bet
it
Taylor.
Is that a down vote? You're not taking the trip?
There's probably about six. No offense to Matchbox, but if I went to Belfast, there are probably 600 other pubs I would go to before I went to Matchbox.
Yo, Tamler's definitely a Ranger fan.
Do you know that rivalry, Celtic Rangers?
No.
He's like, what, the basketball team and the hockey team?
Yeah, that'd be an interesting.
It's like one of the biggest, oldest rivalries in the world.
Yeah.
It's
even older than
what's,
JP and
what
Pete.
What sport?
Soccer. Jeez, all right, we're moving on.
Football?
Yeah, football.
Let's talk some football. Let's talk some American football.
All right, Pete, you gonna tell the truth to the people today?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Trey Quinn had a couple drops in 11-11.
Oh, no.
His first drop was a seam route. He was covered well, and it was one of those where it was off his hands lunging, but he fell to the ground and pounded the ground. He was upset, and then the next play, nobody around him.
D-R-O-P.
Perfect throw and just clanged off his hands. He did catch a touchdown later in the red zone work against Adonis Alexander.
I knew you'd work that part in.
But it wasn't his best day.
Wasn't his best day.
He was taking some reps on the outside. Well, they weren't all slot reps.
Hello.
With Kevin Hogan, a quarterback.
I'm just saying.
You think he can play in the outside?
Absolutely not. Okay. I'm saying that we've been talking so much about the kid, all we talked about him is in the slot and how he needs to do more than that. They're at least giving him some reps on the outside.
Let's talk about who was quite impressive today then.
Taylor Scott.
Taylor, you're up. Taylor's checking his email. What are you doing over there, dude?
Silencing my watch so it doesn't disturb
there's
podcast.
10 people in here. There's an air conditioner going. You think the noise from your watch is going
to
impact
it? I'm just trying to be polite.
Were you reading something interesting again?
Yo, Taylor just
zones out. Did you get distracted by something interesting?
Taylor has become like a – Taylor's got the millennial meter now. He can't focus, dude.
Taylor, talk about Mo Harris. It's your time to shine. He makes a play or two every day.
Thought I was talking about Mo Harris.
Sorry.
Pete, thank getting you. Scolded.
But he went up the ladder again, passed near the sidelines, showed his impressive vertical leap, extended
he's also
up.
He's long
and ran
as hell as a
half.
Person.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, he's lanky.
Yeah.
He's like built like Kevin Durant, not as tall, but similar.
You know, he should get some 50-50 balls in addition to Josh Doctson.
And that was a hell of a throw, too. Alex threaded the needle on that thing. Yeah, it was impressive.
Again, it's another one like the Richardson pass yesterday that he made a diving catch for. Only Maurice Harris could have caught that ball.
Right.
He wasn't going to get picked off.
Showing the willingness to throw into double teams when he's got guys who can go up and get it.
Oh, boy. Just throwing shade, Pete?
I'm not throwing shade. That's just what Alex does.
Just stating facts.
Not comparing him to John Beck or Jason Campbell or any other past quarterbacks. It was a good throw. I think right now it
comps to Donovan McNabb.
If they keep six receivers.
I'm kidding.
Six receivers. Yikes. You think it's Robert Davis and Brian Quick? As of now, before preseason, does it look like Mo Harris, Trey Quinn are kind of a little bit ahead?
Well, we know the three. So if you're saying six.
If they keep six, is Robert Davis and Brian Quick kind of that battle for the six?
Quoting Jay Gruden from yesterday, whoever can play special teams best is going to be the fourth receiver.
Here's a nugget. You know what they like a lot so far? It's early. Danny Johnson returning punts.
Ooh. Brian Quick was clowning people on special teams today. They're doing the gunner two on ones, and he was just running right over guys, putting his shoulder right in between the four and the one and going through them.
Special teams matter.
The Danny Johnson punt stuff is interesting to me because they have no punt returner really.
If Danny Johnson is your punt returner, is your backup punt returner, that's highly useful because at corner, let's be honest here. Greg Stroman has not looked good. Even as a Hokie, you got to admit it.
He has not.
Danny Johnson has looked good.
Danny Johnson from Southern.
Josh Holsey
5-9-1-8.
Isn't here. We don't know the status of his toe. Like, we don't know if he's running.
Whether it's still attached.
He found it after it was severed.
We're just laughing at a guy whose toe might just be separated.
I didn't laugh,
foot.
Pete. Taylor did.
I was laughing at Jay Gruden's description of injury.
Taylor's kind of a bad guy.
let's talk corners. They kept six last year.
Oh, here we go again.
What? Oh, we're going to argue about a number? Then I'll be right. We know four of them. Skandrick, Norman, Dunbar, Moreau, Block City. Adonis, I think, makes the team. You don't make that pick in the supplemental.
He was at lining up first at Gunner with Moreau on the other side.
Well, I tell you what, special, legit celebrity. No offense, Jackson, but a legit celebrity is here.
Our first intro on the podcast, right?
Yeah, welcome.
I think you've been on it. Whatever. Julie Donaldson, how about some applause, everybody?
Thank you very much. The legit part, okay, sure. You want to
You're
say
a celebrity.
That? Why
you like,
not?
You like?
Why not? The last time I was on your podcast, though, I think it was a holiday party, and you were asking me if Kirk Cousins was going to be here or
I
not.
I knew you had been on it. That's all I'm saying. So. What was your answer? What was your answer?
I don't remember.
This is the most
It was a holiday party, right?
Sober Julie Donaldson is making her first
appearance. Hey, whoa!
Pete taking shots.
Yeah, seriously.
Mitch helps with that.
Of all shots coming from Pete. Come on. Pete. I've never. Fit right in. I've never been kicked out of any bars or restaurants.
I don't believe that either.
Really?
In college or something?
Oh, yeah.
You've never been kicked out of a bar?
No, I can count how many times I drank in college on my fingers and toes. That's it.
You didn't drink in college?
Yeah,
What'd you do?
I was
she got kicked out of a bar once and quit.
I was the one going to class taking notes.
Is that what you're supposed to do in college? Right.
Yeah. You missed that. You missed that memo.
I definitely didn't do that.
Speaking of college, so I did go to University of Florida.
Yes.
And,
see, that's a pro,
coming
dude.
Down here.
Like segueing, the rest of us are just
You know,
donks.
you can't drink your way through the University of Florida. I don't know what kind of college you went to.
Whoa.
I don't know what college you went to.
All right. I wanted you to come in and talk. We're talking about the corners. I know you talked to Dunbar today. I'm sure there was some Gator conversation, but tell us about it.
Yeah, so, of course, any guy that comes from Florida, I know you got Reed in there as well.
Yep.
I had to totally jump in on that and grab my picture with him doing our Gator
chomp.
But
it up.
Look, Dunbar's a really – it's a really nice story. He gets undrafted after his time at Florida. His 5 years was redshirt freshman there, eventually his freshman year. But he comes in and, you know, he's fast. But he's not quite the hands for a receiver. So Jay Gruden's like, I don't really like him at that position. But then D'Angelo Hall gets hurt. They need a corner. He comes in there, and he's making a play. And now, go figure, he's wearing D'Angelo Hall's number, which apparently he did go the right route.
Yeah,
and
D-Hall's
asked D-Hall if he's okay with that. I said, is there any extra pressure to live up to that? He goes, nah, man, it's cool. I just want to make sure that I give the due respect to wearing that number, given what Hall did wear with that. But, you know, I also asked him, like, the pressure of, you know, going out there and saying, look, you could now be competing for that starting job opposite of Norman. He doesn't really think about that necessarily, but, of course, he wants to go out there and compete. And he got a nice little payday as well. I think that gives him a little extra confidence coming in here as well. You know, he doesn't have that hanging over him.
As soon as Pete moves out of his parents' house,
he'll
start to understand that.
The first thing he bought was a house down in Miami, so he's been building that.
House
no
in Miami.
Comment for that. I can't buy it.
Just,
I don't know.
You can rent, Pete. You can rent.
I would have no idea how to even start that process.
Oh, God.
You're such a child, dude.
How old are you?
You don't know
like
how
when
to
I was
start
23, I'd probably rented four places.
I don't have the Tandler cash cow blogging funds that you do.
All right. Thank you, JD.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
You can stick around.
Yeah,
we're all in the tent.
It's cool in here.
So Dunbar has had a very impressive camp. We got the five corners that we all agree on Adonis as the fifth.
Yes.
Yeah, I would
RT.
Say so. Yeah.
I will say, so why is...
I think Danny Johnson has a chance at that sixth.
So why is Adonis such a lock for doing a sixth round in the supplemental, which equates as a sixth round next year, but Stroman, like, there's not much of a difference between a seventh round last year and a sixth round.
Size, when you look at them on the field.
I know, but you're saying...
Adonis is the more intriguing prospect.
Yeah. But you're saying, like, oh, they spent the sixth round on him when they just spent a seventh.
Because it wasn't like the draft where it's like, oh, our number's up, we got to pick somebody.
They
went out of their way to select him
in
the supplemental, something they hadn't done in 15 years.
And Adonis has physical traits that most corners in the NFL don't have.
Right, he's huge.
He's huge and strong.
I don't know that he has that high-end speed, though, but I'm not sure Stroman has it either.
But he also, the jam at the line of scrimmage, when he gets that punch on the
receiver, I think, like, in the red zone, he could be highly effective.
Absolutely.
Okay.
RT, how many waters are you going to drink?
Can I drink water while you guys are talking? Is that a big problem?
Sorry, no. Nope.
I do it when I'm sitting in the Lazy Boy, so I figure I should be able to do it here.
No, he's not coughing, so
what
we got that
going
for us.
You were going somewhere, sorry.
No, Stroman, though, he was a very, very good punt returner at Virginia Tech. But we have not seen him do a whole lot of it. Obviously, it's a different world out there, special teams practice. So could come down to a preseason return or two. Between those two. But, yeah, I do have to wonder about Stroman making the team at this point.
There's a lot of football left, too. Let's be clear.
Right, but if he can be the returner and an alternative, maybe not initially, but an alternative to Crowder, whether that's Danny Johnson or whether that's Greg Stroman, I think that's the guy that's on the roster.
All right, it's time for one thing. I'm going first because I don't want anybody to steal mine. I noticed Ryan Anderson. You remember Junior Gallette's stance coming off the edge? He was in a four-point stance, yep. Really low to the ground. It was jarring the first couple times you see it because it's quite different than what most guys do. Most guys are in a three. I noticed Ryan Anderson trying that out today, and I wonder if that's not Anderson trying to get as much speed as he can, because that's what Junior's thing was. He was just going to beach off the edge. Interesting. Ryan Anderson is clearly working very hard to become something. All the other players are saying he's a different guy. You know, he took better care of his body, all that. He's out there trying. So I noticed it. I'm looking forward to seeing him against the Pats. I imagine he'll get decent run out there. And that's my one thing.
My one thing, I spoke to Torian Gray after practice.
Did you have him mic'd up?
We had him mic'd up.
How was that?
After practice. He's good. It was real interesting seeing him work with Skandrick and Norman and DJ Swearinger. He really lets the vets kind of do their thing along the way. But I was kind of talking to him. He was praising Monte Nicholson pretty fair amount during practice. He was playing well. And so I was just asking him about it. And he said something kind of interesting. Last year, with the young safeties, DJ, whenever there was a defense that called for a safety to be near the line of scrimmage and a safety to be deep, DJ was always the guy on the line of scrimmage. He was quicker to read it. He knew where he was supposed to go. And Monte was always the deep guy or the other safety was. This year, left and right, they're going to be playing safety, and whichever side calls to be up on the line of scrimmage, strong, weak, that player is going to be up there. So he's really expecting Monte to take a big step this year and be able to read the plays at the line of scrimmage. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how that plays out.
I kind of like Monte as the
playing the free
as the deep.
Yeah, same. But sounds like he's going to let DJ roam in the backfield a little bit more, which we've seen how good he is at reading quarterback's eyes. It could be a difference maker.
All right, that's good nugget. Julie Donaldson, one thing. Do you understand the premise of one thing?
What? Yeah. One thing that stood out to me.
Yeah.
Just off the top of my head, Apke speed.
Kids fast.
She shows up on the podcast.
Did
and
it?
Takes my one thing.
I'm so happy. That makes my day.
I wasn't anticipating this coming around to me. But yeah, I mean, look, that's the thing.
That was his first play.
He is fast. Yeah, what did you call himself?
Are you talking about the fumble return that he took to the house?
Yeah.
You saw the speed, but that was also just a bad snap botched play.
Yeah.
Good for him for running it out, but kid is fast.
He calls himself Wonder Bread.
Does he call him? I can't imagine he calls himself that.
I heard that he calls himself Wonder Bread and DeShazer calls himself Nutella.
Yeah.
That's their
is that right?
That's their backfield duo.
Yeah.
Credit
okay.
to Chad.
Well, hey, Wonder Bread was fast
that,
today.
Breaking news. All right. Thank you, JD. Jackson,
right, nice
one thing. Hold the mic, dude.
Okay. Probably Maurice Harris. He's he just goes up and makes plays. And I know he's not exactly a roster lock.
You stole Tandler's, dude.
Oh, sorry about that, Taylor.
It's okay. All right.
Maurice Harris, he's
I need variety.
It means he doesn't have to do it.
He just continues to go up and make plays. I know yesterday I was here and he made that the crazy one-handed grab. And even today he was out there snagging balls. And I think he's not exactly a roster lock yet, but I definitely expect to see him back on the team.
Well, the only roster lock, according to Pete, is Trey Quinn. Everybody else is out there competing
and
on the spot.
Alex Smith is working on getting on there.
RT, go ahead.
Pass. Tip by Josh Norman. Pass.
You're not playing?
And pass.
Taylor doesn't like the amount of heat he's getting from JP today.
I'm not. It's just
Welcome
stupid.
To my world,
I don't mind really. It's just stupid. But a pass was tipped up in the air by Josh Norman. Now, it was defending quick. What happens 99% of the time a ball gets tipped up in the air during a game for the Redskins? It falls to the ground.
Yeah.
Nobody goes and gets it. Or the other 1% of the time,
catch.
The offensive team catches it. Okay.
What happened today?
Zach Brown made a diving interception just a few inches off the ground. Really good play. Bounced up, ran the ball down the sidelines. That's the kind of play that this defense needs to make. You know, instead of, where's the ball? Where's the ball? You know, and it, like I said, it just bounces to the ground or hits off one of their helmets or something like that. They need to go get it. So more plays like that, this year, when games count, this defense will be in much better shape.
All right.
It shows something of ZB's speed to be back there, too, because that was
15 yards
down the field. Yeah. But Norman hit the ground hard on that play. He was a little slow getting up, a little groggy, I think. But it was an impressive play.
Yeah.
I think DJ was mad he didn't get it, and Zach got it. All right.
DJ also thinks he should get every ball.
Right.
He thinks every pick is his.
Anybody, anything else before we go to Jordan Reed?
I'm just not a part of the podcast anymore.
Have you not gone?
No.
Sorry. It's Pete's turn.
Instead of one thing, I want to do one question.
Oh, my. That's why I was skipping. I knew to skip you.
Right. Once your one thing was taken by JV, you were done.
Well, I also had Norman as my backup, and Taylor kind of took
that. Great. So
this is spectacular.
So now I'm just reaching. So my thing I've been kind of thinking about the past couple of days, we always report whether the defense won the day or the offense won the day. What do you think is the better – who should fans rather be seeing winning the days right now? Do you think the defense is better for them to be ahead or the offense? I kind of think the
offense, dude, because the defense knows what's coming. Ultimately, you're playing the same guys every day. You
I
know
think
what's
it's better
happen.
For the defense to be winning because we know that this offense – has the talent and has a veteran quarterback.
No, we don't.
Do.
We know it has a quarterback. We don't know about him working.
They got
with
a rookie
receivers.
Running back, a number one receiver that is hurt.
I think it's way more obvious.
Massive
way
hole
more
left guard.
Easy oh, wait, to envision this offense being a top 10 offense than this defense being a top 10 defense.
Agree with that, but I think saying the offense is a lock is a little premature.
I think they're more of a lock than the defense. So I think seeing.
I think it's lock guy. I'm not agreeing with Pete because Pete's logic is terrible, but it's more impressive when the defense wins the day based on the fact that they're not allowed to tackle or not allowed to hit. That if they're able to win the day without blowing up a running back or a wide receiver making a crossing pattern.
And just to bounce off of that a little bit, when the offense looks like it's winning the day, it's kind of an illusion sometimes.
Right, exactly. That's why
especially because running backs will run out every play when they're not getting tackled and it looks like a 15-yard
game.
You know,
Alex Smith can scramble around left, right. Nobody's going to sack him. He can launch one down field. Somebody makes a great catch on a ball that never would have been thrown. And
like the one
even
catch
a preseason
yesterday.
Game wouldn't have been thrown.
So while Pete may be correct, his logic was poor.
I don't
he gets a check
was
minus.
That poor.
He gets
You're going
a check
up
minus.
Against Alex Smith. The defense can beat Alex Smith and his talented group. I think that's what you would rather see right now, because I think the offense is a little more of a safer
How many games for this Redskins offense will they have to send the ball to Canton?
Canton, like
the
I
Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Do you know where Canton is?
Yes, but I don't
Do you know what Canton is?
That's just a random question.
In your mind, it seems like they're going to be setting records and have to just.
You just are just twisting. I'm saying think they're a better group than the defense, so I'd rather see the defense.
How many yards is Troy Apke going to? Is Trey Quinn going to have this year?
It's either 15 or 1600.
Yeah.
Salty.
It's just a matter of whether it's double digits or triple digits.
Taylor, let's start our own podcast without these clowns.
Here's the problem. I haven't really gone out in a couple days, so I'm like firing on all cylinders. Like I'm. Speaking of firing, Mitch almost put me into a human pretzel last night. Yeah, we can tell that story.
Okay.
We were having a drink after dinner in the hotel courtyard, and I walked up. I just stuck Mitch in the ribs real quick.
You were fired up about something.
From behind.
Mitch didn't see it. You gave him a couple jabs.
Not
Mitch,
a couple.
It was
two. It's two.
They were real quick.
Yeah.
Sorry that I'm quick.
It's still two, even if they're quick.
You look like Brandon Scherff on these pads after practices. Pop, pop.
Yeah.
And then Mitch, hadn't seen you coming, stands up. You guys go kind of go nose to nose.
Yeah, dude. It was.
And it then started pushing.
It was a powder keg.
And then,
it was a Franz keg. Ferdinand was walking around. There was a lot could have happened there.
Things were ready to go.
And none of it would have been good for JP.
No.
JP thinks the fire in his eyes that Mitch picked up on that and at least recognized that JP wouldn't have gone down without a fight. And that's why Mitch stopped. I think Mitch just was a cooler head and realized that he could have smushed JP.
All of that is true.
I realize that we're good friends.
And we are close friends. And
way to stay level-headed.
He took an unnecessary shot. He needed to know that wasn't okay. He now knows that's not okay, and we can move on.
And you know what I did during this? Sat in my chair. I didn't move any closer to the situation. I didn't want to get caught up in it.
All the rib shots will go Pete's way, I think.
Pete told me about it, and I was thinking, well, we could have one in the hospital and one in jail. Pete and I might have to do the podcast by ourselves.
There's your
today.
Bonus
Don't
pod.
Be too excited over there, Taylor.
Yeah, Taylor's like, are you Taylor's sure you like, didn't want to fight? No.
How about Mitch's one phone call would be calling in for the podcast?
Yeah.
No. I already know my one phone call down here.
Mitch, what's your one take?
Jerry Brown is my one phone call down here.
No, he would have called in a bet.
You're like, oh, dude, I got to get on this Rangers Brewers game.
Over on the Rangers.
By the way, yeah, you're not wrong.
All right. Well, that was a wildly unnecessary story to tell, but
I think
here we are.
It was pretty necessary.
It was a fun night.
Okay. Elijah's still here.
Stick alert.
I'm glad Mitch didn't put me into a human pretzel. Real quick, before we go to Jordan Reed, I got a note from my guy, Lewis Rothstein. Lewis is a big-time listener, big-time Redskins fan. He lives in Chicago. He plans on going to the Giants, the Eagles, and the Titans game. So my man is traveling.
Nice.
And he sent me a picture of his Uncle Bud. Look at my guy, Uncle Bud. This now that's an authentic fan.
That is an authentic fan if I've ever seen one.
My guy, Uncle Bud, passed away at 99 years old. I mean, that's older than Tanner.
That's old.
Yeah.
Just a little very comfortable in that chair.
Yeah. So the picture they sent is Uncle Bud wearing a 33 Redskins jersey. Is that like
Sammy Ball?
Okay.
I know my history.
Uncle Bud might have seen Sammy Ball play. Does that math add up?
Yeah. If he's 99, sure he definitely did.
That's cool.
Absolutely did.
And he passed earlier this year. On the day before his passing, we sang Hail to the Redskins, and he didn't miss a beat. So
it's pretty awesome.
Cheers to Uncle Bud, and cheers to Lewis Rothstein. Good people out there
cheers
in the universe.
We'll raise a bud to Uncle Bud next time we're out.
So, all right, now we're really getting close to Jordan Reed, I promise. We got to figure out a bonus. Are we giving him a bonus tomorrow? There's no practice tomorrow. Jeez, so much enthusiasm here, team.
I think
we'll decide where we go tonight.
Yeah, the last one we were able to plan it a little bit.
Yeah.
So we knew to get the one-on-one.
Maybe we get one-on-ones after walkthrough. Whatever, we'll figure something out.
Maybe we bonus pot it tonight.
Like late night?
Late night.
We'll figure it out.
Not a good idea.
Throw to Jordan Reed, Jackson.
What should I say?
You're in charge. Do it.
All right, well, here comes up Jordan Reed. Thanks for listening.
Bang.
Beautiful.
Bang.
And if you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
He's 19. He can't say that.
18.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Everyone always says your money should work as hard as you do. But the thing is, with Eagle Bank's highly competitive deposit interest rates on money market accounts and CDs, your money doesn't even need to work that hard. From personal to business, Eagle Bank's flexible deposit terms help you hit financial goals in the short and long term. Stop by one of the DMV area locations or visit us online at eaglebankcorp.com to learn more. Member FDIC.
What up, everybody? Jordan Reed, let's start with the question on all Redskins fans' minds. How you feeling?
Feeling pretty good. Just taking it day by day. It's been a long process, but it's finally starting to, you know, I'm finally starting to see results, and I'm finally starting to get back to normal, so it's been good.
I've seen you a little bit this offseason. I know how much work you put in on your body, on the feet. Can you tell the fans just a little bit of all the stuff you went through?
Went through a lot this offseason. You know, but you know,
surgery?
From two surgeries, both toes had surgery on both toes, and then, you know, just from working out twice a day with the training staff and Chad, and then going to see my guy Dan up in Tyson's Corner every day, you know, so it was a long process, but you know, all that work is starting to pay off now, and I'm starting to see the results.
And they took a little piece of the bone off in each foot. Do I have that right?
It's a small bone in your all of our big toe called the sesamoid bone, and I had mine's removed because mine's was fractured.
Okay.
And that's what I was dealing with last year, you know, fractured toe. So, you know, now it's gone and the pain is gone. So now I could be myself again.
Well, and last year, I could sense frustration. I watched you come out, and you seemed like you didn't want to be on the pup to start, and you wanted to try to push through it. This year, it seems like everybody's on the same page. Am I reading that right?
Definitely. Last year was kind of something that just came out of nowhere. I did good in a mini camp.
You looked great in mini camp.
Yeah, I felt really good in mini camp. And then, you know, it wasn't until after that, I chose to get the stem cell shot to get the little ache out. It wasn't nothing crazy at the time. I got the stem cell, and that made everything a lot worse. and where I couldn't even walk during the, you know, for like 3 weeks in July, I couldn't run. And then when I came here, I had to let them know what was going on. So it was just bad. It was just a bad thing, man. And, you know, but everything happens for a reason. And I think getting these two surgeries and having to go through all that stuff just reignited my love for the game and my passion, and just making me work harder and just more consistent over time.
And it looks like you're ahead of schedule right now. Gruden had said you weren't really going to get 11-on-11 work until Saturday, and I saw you doing it yesterday on Wednesday.
Yeah, I think I'm ahead of schedule. I still got a month left till full recovery on my right foot, and that's going to 6 months is full recovery for my injury, and I'm at 5 months on my right foot right now. So I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm definitely ahead of schedule, and I'm improving every day I go out there and practice. So that's good.
Do you want to play in the preseason?
If I'm able to play, and if the coaches and the training staff think that's what's best, and we all come to agreement on it, then I'm gonna play. But if not, you know, I'm gonna wait till that first game.
Do you expect to play in the preseason? To me, I don't think you should.
Yeah.
But I'm not in charge.
Like I said, man, I don't expect to play. I don't expect not to play. I'm just taking it day by day, and then, you know, when that time comes, we'll make a choice.
Gotcha. How's it going with Alex?
It's going real good. He's, you know, I got to get used to him because he plays real fast, and he's a playmaker, man. So I just got to be ready. You know, I just got to be ready and in the right spot for us to have success. So, you know, it's going to take some reps, but it's going to take some getting used to just playing with a different quarterback, you know.
He comes out of the huddle much faster. That's what Chris Thompson was telling me.
Comes out faster. He throws the ball, you know, as soon as you get out the break. Sometimes I don't expect for him to throw me the ball, and he's throwing it to me. You know what I mean? In a good spot where I can catch it. So I just gotta be ready for it, man. I just need the more reps.
And what about the offense as a whole? Alex told me he wants to be running more option, getting outside of the pocket more. You know, that's different than a lot of what we've seen the last few years. Does that help your game?
I think it helps my game because, you know, that's the style I played since college. That spread offense with the option quarterbacks, you know, so that's something I'm very familiar with, and something I'm pretty good at, you know, when it comes to blocking for the quarterback and the option. So I think I could do some good things.
I want to bring this up real quick because I find it astounding every time. You went to Florida as a quarterback. Who are the other quarterbacks?
When I first got there, it was Tim Tebow, John Brantley, and me. And then after Tebow was gone, it was John Brantley, Jeff Driscoll, and Trey Burton.
Wasn't Cam there at some point?
Cam wasn't there when I was there.
Okay.
Nah.
That's a pretty loaded room. You decided to switch to tight end.
Yeah, I chose to change 2 years in.
But when I see you throwing the ball, you still have a cannon.
Yeah, I could still spin it a little bit.
You could spin it?
A little bit.
Trent can spin it too.
Yeah.
Did you bulk up?
Yeah, I put on probably like 8 pounds or so this offseason.
Why?
Last year, I was light. I usually pay around the weight that I am right now. I used the first couple years of my career, I was around 240 to 245. Last year, I was like 230, 232, 236. And I could feel the hits a lot more. And, you know, just insert blocking on the linebackers and at the point of attack, I wasn't as effective at that weight. So, you know, I put that weight back on to be able to take some of them hits and sustain and just keep fighting through it.
Do you think you'll be a better blocker with the additional weight?
Yeah, I think I'll be a more effective blocker. I also think I'll be able to take punishment better and be able to, you know, absorb some of the contact better.
What are your goals for the 2018 season?
My goals is just to, you know, one of my main goals is just to have one of the best seasons of my career, to come out and really perform well. And, you know, be a consistent option for the quarterback and be a consistent run blocker as well.
What's the most important thing in your life?
Most important thing in my life is my family.
Do you have a daughter?
I got three daughters.
I have three
daughters. They're the most important thing in my life, for sure. That and my relationship with God. And then, you know, comes football after that, so... With me being able to, with my children being my most important thing, I got to take care of them. So that puts football, you know, number one, or right there, because, you know, I got to provide for him. I got to take care of him. I got to give him a good life. So, you know, when my priorities set like that, you know, I take football very seriously.
I know you do. All right, we're getting close to being done, I promise. Let's do a little word association.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say a name, and you tell me what you think. We'll start with Vernon Davis.
Hall of Famer.
Trent Williams.
Hall of Famer.
You're not supposed to double up, but I'll give you a pass for those two. Darius Geis.
Legend.
Legend?
Legend.
Yeah, not a snap
Legend
yet.
In the making.
Okay. Paul Richardson.
Great.
Josh Doctson.
Great.
You're not supposed to double up, man.
My bad.
let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Zach Brown.
Fast.
John Allen.
Beast.
Mason Foster.
I was going to double up, man. Beast.
All right. Wes Phillips.
Guru.
Jay Gruden.
Got to go with genius.
Well done. Last thing, this is your platform, your opportunity. Say whatever you want to Redskins fans. What you need from them, what you want from them, what you're going to deliver, the floor is yours.
We just need positivity this year, man. You know, we're going to come out and keep grinding. Just be on our side like you always have, and we're going to play hard for y'all and deliver a good season.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.